One, two, three, four.
Welcome to It's My Screen Time 2, the podcast where we review the programming the other critics ignore, stuff made for kids. Find out what to watch for family movie night, what to avoid altogether, and what you'll want to watch alone voluntarily. I'm Deborah.
And I'm Katie.
And I have three kids. They are 14, 11, and 11.
And I have two kids. They're 8 and 5. So today we're reviewing the Loud House movie. This was actually a listener suggestion from Chase. So thank you for listening and thank you for your suggestion, Chase. We actually tried to review the Loud House show early in our podcasting lives, but we struggled to coordinate DVR times or find episodes playing on cable. Do you remember what a runaround that was?
Cable.
I mean, Nickelodeon content can still be a little on the tricky side from a streaming perspective, but they have come a long way, and there's actually quite a bit of Nickelodeon stuff available to stream via both Paramount Plus and now on Netflix, you know, because it can't just be on one streaming service to make things uncomplicated.
Right.
All right, back to the matter at hand, Loud House movie. It premiered on Netflix on August 20th of 2021. Based on the Loud House television show, which premiered on Nickelodeon in 2016. There have been 7 seasons of the show and a ton of spinoffs, and I'm just going to run down the list here. So we have a spinoff animated series called The Casa Grandes that ran from 2019 to 2022. We have the movie we're reviewing today from 2021. A live-action Christmas special from 2021 as well. A live-action series, The Really Loud House, that premiered in 2022. A live-action Halloween special in 2023. A Casa Grandes animated movie that was just released on Netflix this month, or maybe in March. Had you seen any of these Loud House or Loud House adjacent properties before?
We've watched the Loud House TV show. My kids were in a brief phase where they really liked it, but I haven't seen any of the movies or spinoffs.
Okay, I'll be interested to get your take because this was my first Loud House experience. The movie hits Deborah's kids' movie length sweet spot at 87 minutes, and the series and the follow-up movie are aimed squarely at the early elementary set. The plot summary, according to Netflix, is: with his parents and all 10 sisters in tow, Lincoln Loud heads to Scotland and learns that royalty runs in the family in this global musical journey.
Let's talk about our general thoughts. First of all, did you like it?
I only really liked the first part before they went to Scotland. I really liked the opening montage of the movie, which was like a musical story of how Lincoln's parents got together and had 11 children. It was very cute. But I felt quite disadvantaged that I hadn't seen the show, and it seemed to me that it might be better suited to taking place in the titular Loud House. What did you think? Did you like it?
I definitely liked that opening sequence. I think that's one beautiful thing about animation, is they can really compress time and show like a whole history of a family in just like one song. So that was fun. I felt like the plot was a little bit, I don't know, it was like also, it was like kind of predictable, like almost too predictable, but at the same time, like over the top.
Yeah.
So it was, I mean, it was okay. Like it was a fun little movie to watch with my kids, but it wasn't anything that I would recommend to other people, not in like a Paddington 2 kind of way.
Right, right.
So as a grown-up watching the show, what did you find in it that wasn't made for you? Why isn't this for grown-ups?
So Americans, if I may paint with a broad brush here, Americans love stories about going to quaint villages in usually Ireland, but sometimes Scotland, and rediscovering our true selves or what love truly is. We just love those stories. There are so many of them. And I think I'm just a little tired of it to the point where I couldn't even really deal with it for the length of a children's movie.
It's so preposterous too. Like those return to the homeland kind of plot tropes, because like Lincoln finds out that his family is related to royalty, but no, you weren't Lincoln. Your family left Scotland because they were starving. That's why your ancestors left. They were
Wow.
either starving or they were religiously oppressed. That is why people left Western Europe to come to America. They didn't leave their royal lineage and their giant castle behind to strike it rich in the New World.
But I'm not necessarily hearing the potential strains of a rollicking musical along those thematic lines, Deborah.
That's true. I found because this show has been around for a long time, I felt like it was to my taste, and this is just personal taste, not whether it's good or bad, but it was like kind of retro, which the Loud House pits Lincoln against all these sisters. So it's very much like boys are one way and girls are another way. And each sister gets like one note of a personality. Like one's a goth. One is, I
That's the
don't know,
only one you remember.
dumb. Yeah. And then it's also very like white. Like Lincoln has like the one black friend who kind of spurs Lincoln's whole like, I need to find out why I'm special type of quest. And it's not that old, but I feel like since we've been watching kids shows have evolved to be way more inclusive and diverse, and I missed that a little bit.
I guess if your focus is on a family, though, that is kind of hard to avoid.
So why is this for grown-ups? What did you like, even though it wasn't really made for people our age?
I really loved the opening extra scenes about the perils of attending multiple extracurricular activities for multiple children in one day. That really resonated with me, even though I only have two children and not 11. There was this moment when they all realized that they all had activities on the same day, and it was a shot of everyone panicking, and Dad was just in the background gnawing on the door frame in panic. And I just loved that so much. And I also just, I like the why are my siblings the special ones angle. I found that compelling. How about you? What did you think there was for you to hold on to?
For me, also, I thought of that opening introduction to the family, and it made me feel good because I'm not neglecting my kids. Like, they leave the baby, they forget the baby.
There's a lot of reliance on Lincoln to take care of the baby, which, I mean, they ended up having a sweet bond that I found was cute. Although every time that baby pulled a burrito out of its diaper, I wanted to vomit. It happened a lot.
Also, breakfast burritos, that's a good meal idea. Those are easy and fast, and everybody likes a breakfast burrito.
Yeah, I have one kid that will eat breakfast burritos, which is super helpful when I'm trying to make breakfast for everyone.
What do you put in it?
If I'm in a hurry, just eggs and cheese.
Nice. Okay, let's get into the weeds a little bit. First, let's talk about the cast or the characters. Was there anyone in this that you particularly loved or hated?
When it comes to voice work or any sort of work in general, you know, I'm never going to miss an opportunity to call out David Tennant, who did some work as Angus, the groundskeeper of the Scottish estate, and he was charming as always. Did you notice that Lola Loud, the beauty pageant sister, is voiced by one Grey Griffin?
She's in everything.
She
She's so
is a
good.
standout voice talent and a favorite of the podcast, so we are happy to hear her voice here. I really enjoyed the goth sister and the goth ghost. I like that they did take this kind of one-note character and use her for a little something more. How did you feel about the housekeeper as villain?
Morag.
Yes.
I liked her. She was one of my favorites. She was like so put upon because this she's got this whole castle to herself, and then this American family shows up and just starts to trash the place and demand things of her. Like, I would have revolted against them also, even if I didn't feel like entitled to any sort of royal privilege.
I thought the Morag plot felt weirdly underbaked because it felt like they were taking me down this blind alley where the lesson was going to be that power corrupts, and like Lincoln was going to find out that the Duke that he was modeling himself after was actually a bad guy and a bad ruler. So that was my expectation for a while, and I kind of felt like the Morag stuff, yeah, was there, but it didn't, I don't know, it didn't meld well in my mind.
Sure. Well, that brings us to the writing. I think they duked it. That was like a line that they use, and I don't really know what duked it means.
Yeah.
Is it like the Duke? The Scottish Duke? Duked it like him?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I've never used duke as a verb.
I did enjoy the dragon part of the plot. Like, they come across a hatched baby dragon who, like, triples in size every time the baby feeds it one of those diaper breakfast burritos. I had a kid's picture book when I was a child where, like, this baby dragon shows up and, like, grows an unbelievable amount overnight and takes up the whole house. So, like, is this a rule of baby dragons?
That they grow quickly?
And exponentially?
I don't know. I mean, my only other recent dragon context comes from Game of Thrones, and I feel like they were small-ish for a while. I'm not sure.
Well, that was a fun, that was kind of a funny, absurd part of the plot that I enjoyed.
Yeah, and they integrated the dragon into their lives so unquestioningly. I guess when you're used to living with that level of chaos of 11 siblings in a house, and like someone rolls up with a dragon one day, you're just like, okay, what's one more?
Yeah, it's like I have one dog who I find overwhelming to take care of. And then some people are like, yeah, I have six pets. I've got two cats, a dog, a lizard. And like, they just like rattle off all these animals that they share their home with. Totally unrelatable to me. This is a musical, but it surprised me that it was a musical because it's not really described as a musical, or maybe I didn't read carefully. But anyway, there's a whole bunch of songs. There's a real legit soundtrack. Did any of the songs stand out to you?
Well, I guess first I need to answer your question with a question. Does the show The Loud House feature a lot of music?
I mean, the themes, like I can sing, I won't, but I could sing the theme song right now. But if it does have songs, I can't. They're not memorable.
Okay.
It's been years since I watched the show.
And I think not memorable is the phrase that I would use for this music. And I think I just had unrealistic expectations because for whatever reason, I was expecting Phineas and Ferb style songs, like funny songs. And this was not that. Like, they maybe would have like a funny lyric here or there, but there was no, there's a platypus controlling me going on.
Right.
The music was not great.
It was very, it sounded very auto-tuned to my ears, which is an aesthetic I don't really like.
Yeah.
What did you find compelling or boring about the animation style?
I was trying to think of a way to describe this animation style, and the term I came up with, for better or worse, is careless on purpose. It's kind of got this slapdash style to it that feels like a cross between the hand-drawn animation that we grew up with and like Ren and Stimpy. And I don't love it. I mean, I thought this movie was perfectly charming. It is not my preferred style of animation. What do you think?
I thought there was nothing to complain about for me, but it also didn't stand out. So in other words, I would give it like a solid B performance. I thought it was fine.
Can I ask you about the Scotland of it all? Because the show takes place in their hometown with all the people they know. And they made the decision for this movie to like uproot them, and the bulk of the movie takes place in Scotland. We talked a little bit about this with Kung Fu Panda 4 last time. When you have a long-running franchise, sometimes you just need to like totally mix it up and put the characters in a totally new situation so it feels fresh. And I think we agreed that that more or less worked for Kung Fu Panda 4. I guess I just, it fell pretty flat for me. It didn't feel as charming as they wanted it to, I didn't think.
Maybe because they all got their own room. And I don't... like part of the shtick of the Loud House is that they're all crowded into one house and it's too many people for one house.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I have no experience with them in the Loud House. So what do you think in your mind makes this okay or good for kids?
I think my kids like watching it because it's a kind of a foreign concept to grow up in a family that large. Mm-hmm. And it's not exactly like the same as a child protagonist in a kid's film or book being orphaned, but sort of, because the kids are so independent because there's so many of them and the parents only have a finite amount of attention to go around. Mm-hmm. So I think it's entertaining for kids because of that just situational setup.
We've also been hitting the you don't have to have a true calling lesson really hard lately, but I think it applies here too. It's a valuable lesson for kids to learn that they don't have to have a thing that defines them when they're young. Mm-hmm. Lincoln Loud is feeling like he needs to have a single defining characteristic like all of his siblings do.
He's boy.
Yes, he's boy. And you're right. It does model a level of responsibility for kids that is common in big families, but might feel more foreign to kids that come from a different experience. I like, too, that it felt generally irreverent, but not mean-spirited. Like, these kids are wacky kids that get up to hijinks, but they're not bad kids. Mm-hmm. And I like that distinction. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's anything that makes this inappropriate or otherwise bad for kids?
Setting the expectation that a family of 12 can fly to Europe at the drop of a hat. Yeah, that makes it inappropriate. Airline travel is very expensive these days. I think Nickelodeon is just setting people up for disappointment.
Oh, man. Yeah, they have no money left in their savings jar. And Lincoln is just like, it'll work out because it always does. And then it does. Like, they don't even make flight reservations. They arrive in a submarine they stumbled upon. Right. That could make for some uncomfortable explanations from parents about why international travel is not quite practical.
Let's talk about our evergreen questions. What adult movie or show does this compare to?
So I already mentioned the fact that Americans love movies about going to a small town and finding your roots. Most of them are stories about going to Ireland. So before you at me, I know that Ireland and Scotland are totally different countries, but I think thematically there's some similarities. So the movies that I thought of, they've been advertising this one on Netflix lately with Lindsay Lohan called Irish Wish, which I have not watched, but that seems to be the gist of it.
Yeah, that one is supposed to be really bad.
I also thought of a similar one starring Amy Adams from like maybe 10 years ago called Leap Year.
I remember that one.
Yeah. And then along the lines of The Giant Family and much less entertaining and happy lines, I thought of the documentary series Shiny Happy People, which was all about the Duggar family. The family that did the 19 Kids and Counting show, which is not a show I ever experienced. So I knew of these people through like Us Weekly covers, but the documentary was really sad and disturbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also went the big family route. Do you remember a show from the 1980s called Just the 10 of Us?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah. So this kind of made me want to watch that. I haven't seen that since I was a kid. And then I also thought of Big Love because of the big families mm-hmm. that are so unrelatable to us latte swilling liberals who have not that many kids. Were you able to cast the gritty HBO reboot?
I only cast the sisters, and I would just like Tatiana Maslany to play them all.
Who is she? Remind me.
Did you ever watch the show Orphan Black? Gosh, that show must have ended like 10 years ago now. But the whole conceit was it was about clones, and she played all of them. And sometimes she played all of them at once, and it was really fun. And she did a great job creating distinctive characters, even though they all looked like her. So she never tackled 10 at a time. So I think this could be a new challenge.
Well, let's combine our gritty HBO reboots because I only cast the parents, and I
Okay.
would cast Cal Penn as the dad and Chloe Sevigny as the mom. Speaking of Big
Yeah,
Love.
speaking of Big Love and your best friend Cal Penn.
Was it better when we were kids?
So obviously the Muppets are like the ultimate TV to movie success story, right? The Muppet Movie, The Muppets Take Manhattan, The Great Muppet Caper, like these are all great movies that started out as TV shows and I think were much more successful than this transition. But then specifically when we were kids, we also had the two iconic Addams Family movies with Christina Ricci. Those were great offshoots from a TV property. And the, I would argue, the two original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies with the puppets. I thought those were great. I haven't watched those lately, but the Vanilla Ice song alone puts it above this one, I think.
Yeah, I thought this was mostly kind of average, mid, is it mid? And forgettable. So I would say it's not better than when we were kids. Would you ever watch this alone voluntarily?
No, but I would be happy to catch an episode of the show. I'm actually kind of curious now.
I would consider adding the Halloween live action special or movie from 2023 to our watch list if nothing else spooky looks good around Halloween time.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Let's do that.
And Chase, thank you so much for the suggestion. If you want to share your thoughts with us, we would love to hear them.
Yay. How about ratings?
I would give it a 3.
I know. I went 3.5. Yeah, mid. You said it right. See it or skip it.
See it? It's fine, especially if you're looking for like a shortish movie.
Yeah, I would say see it, but see the show first. I don't think there's any reason to seek out the movie. Thanks for listening to our review of the Loud House movie. Next week, we'll be back with a conversation about screen time in the news. If you enjoyed our show today, please recommend the show to one friend you think would enjoy it too. We love growing our community of parents for sanity and screen time. Want more words about screen time? Subscribe to our newsletter to get updates when we release a new episode and other articles at myscreentime2.com. Tune in next time for more real talk about the movies and TV we watch with our kids because we have to, and sometimes because we like to. Bye.
Bye. Screen time.